This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey looking at khuluq al-rasul, characteristics and behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, your characteristics, or your character is sublime, is manifest. Thus it becomes incumbent for us to read about his seerah, to look and to model ourselves around his characteristics and his behavior, and not just the external focus that many of us focus upon inside our lives. Not to say that we shouldn't focus upon external elements of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we find a deeper penetration of the way that he began to change individuals and make them into personalities. We stopped upon kindness and the importance of being especially kind towards one another, Muslim towards one another. Another translation of the wording that we're going to look at could be gentleness, arifq, gentleness towards one another. And we pause and we stop towards Muslims, and Muslim towards another Muslim. A believer to another believer is a friend, is a supporter. They support and they help one another. And likewise, numerous traditions that we find. Al-mu'min kal-bunyan yashuddu ba'du ba'da'u kama qal sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-mu'min al-mu'min, a believer, or Muslim al-Muslim, a believer to another believer, or Muslim to another Muslim. Kal-bunyani yashuddu ba'du ba'da. It's like a building. It's actually like each brick solidifies and strengthens the whole element of the building. If one brick is removed, you find weakness begins to appear. Maybe not immediately, but after a few years. After 40, 50 years, you find the weakness of the building becomes apparent. Unfortunately, the weakness of this Muslim ummah is at times becoming apparent. ثُمَّ شَبَّكَ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And then he figured this, or displayed this as an example. He placed his, intertwined his fingers, blessed fingers, his hands with one another, to show this is how Muslims are tightly knit together, how they're united together. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not differ amongst your own selves. They are not some things, they are many things. Many things this Muslim ummah is united upon. And that deliverance of unity is delivered in these ayyamul hajj, in these days of hajj. Ayyam of dhul-hijjah, the 10 days of dhul-hijjah. Ayyam al-tashriq, ayyam al-udhiyah, days of sacrifice, that we find that millions show their unity, their oneness, and their devotion and commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is all a figurement, as many ulama have displayed, strength of this Muslim ummah. And likewise, you find a display of the final day. That this is how people, Yawmul Mahshar, the day of Arafah that we find, Al-Hajju Arafah, the whole of Hajj is condensed upon the standing on the plain of Arafah. Whoever misses the plane of Arafah, has incompleted the Hajj becomes invalidated. Al-Hajju Arafah, that is the day of gathering or resurrection, as many ulama have described. How Muslims will come on that day, will be together on that day, even though on that day, unfortunately, there will be a separation. On the days of Hajj, there's a gathering that everybody is together. But the day of resurrection will be a day of separation. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبْنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. You find every person will be differing from one another, from their own son, their own daughter, their own spouse, their own loved ones, will be running away from them on that day. That's the only difference between the gathering of the hereafter and the gathering of Hajj that we find. And thus we find that this goodness of striving to be together by numerous passages inside the Quran indirectly point to the fact that our Muslims should be united with one another. Muhammadur Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعُوا أَشِدَّوْا عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. You find that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is the messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. Those who are with him are stern and harsh towards the disbelieving individuals when the time is right, when it's appropriate, that they display their strength towards the disbelieving individuals. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. They are merciful, compassionate, gentle towards one another. Indeed, gentleness that we find is a commandment that's given directly to the Prophet ﷺ. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Inside Surah Al Imran that we find that if you had been by the mercy of Allah, you was lenient towards them, gentle towards them, kind towards them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you had been stern and harsh, coarse and rude towards them, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. The companions around you split away from you, go away from you. Gentleness is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The end of Surah Al-Tawbah that we find, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The end of Surah Al-Tawbah that we find, Allah describes the Prophet alayhi wasallam full of compassion, full of mercy, full of gentleness. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. There's come a message from amongst your own self. It troubles him, it upsets him. You don't come towards the guidance, you don't respond to him. He's forever watching over you, worried about you. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described inside Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st chapter of the Quran. Al-Anbiya speaking about the prophets and the messengers. One of the greatest verses about the messengers, or about specifically about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We don't send you except for a mercy, not just to the world, but all of the worlds. The worlds that we can't visualize, can't see. عَالِمُ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ. The world of even حَتَّى الْجِنِّ. That this world, unseen world, that we can't see with our naked eye. But the Prophet ﷺ was sent to these individuals as well. And thus we find that they even responded to the call of the Prophet ﷺ. So we find the gentleness that we find in this hadith of today. مَنْ أُعْطِيَ حَظَّهُ مِنَ الرِّفْقِ فَقَدْ أُعْطِيَ حَظَّهُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. Whoever has been given a good share of gentleness has been given a good share of goodness has been given to that individual. وَمَنْ حُرِمَ حَظُّهُ مِنَ الرِّفْقِ حُرِّمَ حَظُّهُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. Whoever's been forbidden from having kindness, gentleness, goodness, much goodness has been taken away from that individual. And that's what ulama speak about certain things. There's certain things which are principles that sometimes many of us that we lack. We fail to focus upon them inside our lives. مَنْ لَمْ يُتْقَنِ الْأُصُولِ حُرِمَ مِنَ الْمُصُولِ. Whoever doesn't perfect principles, doesn't perfect them inside life, doesn't understand the principles of Sharia, حُرِمَ مِنَ الْوُصُولِ, we'll never get to the end result. We'll never get to the end result of goodness. That's if a person understands principles of Islam, مَبَادِيُ Islam, fundamentals of Islam, understands them deeply, doesn't mean a person needs to be a well-versed scholar inside their life, but understands the general principles of Islam, principles of goodness, kindness, forgiving, love, mercy, compassion, overlooking, taking care of people around them, then that person will get to the end result. The end result of much goodness will be given to that individual. Another hadith that we find, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِمَنْ يَحْرَمُ عَلَى النَّارِ. Should not inform you about the individual who the fire becomes forbidden for that individual. أَوْ بِمَنْ تَحْرَمُ عَلَى النَّارِ, or whoever the fire is forbidden for that individual. عَلَى كُلِّ قَرِيبٍ هَيِّنٍ سَهْلٍ. Upon every close person to the people, lenient, easygoing, overlooking individual. Hadith in Sunan Tirmidhi. That for that person, the fire is haram for that individual. Who's easygoing with the people, lenient towards the people, overlooking the people, pardoning the people. And thus we find that we need to live with people, to engage with people. That's what we need to do inside our lives, because some of us, life unfortunately for some individuals becomes a textual understanding of Islam. It becomes a reading, a tertiary reading, a black and white reading. This is what this means. And we apply it in our own format. Application needs to be understood. That's what we find in the role of a faqih. It overrides the role of an alim. A scholar can be well versed in certain things. But faqih, an Islamic Jew, is the one who knows how to implement the law, how to take the law and appropriately codify it, implement it on the people around them in its right proportion, at the right time, at the right place that we find. And as we find the commandments inside the Quran, from amongst the first commandments that were given to Bani Israel that we find inside the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, some verse 83 or so, whereby Allah lists the commandments given to these individuals. Allah mentioned, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا وَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Engage with people with goodness, with kindness. In today's world, irrespective of a person's social class, irrespective of their culture, their family, their lineage, their land, their people, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا حَتَّى غَيْرُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, even non-Muslims, شيء عام, any individual, speak goodness to them. And some of the ulama go to the view, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. إِذَا أَخَذْنَا هَذِهِ الْآيَةَ عَلَى التَّرْتِيبِ, if we take this ayah in terms of commandments, in order, we follow it in order, because many times it occurs inside the Quran that Allah gives certain different commandments and begins with the top, highest ranking commandment, that you never commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then brings it down to maybe stay away from another haram, then another haram. So ulama say this is the severity of muharramat that we find. Likewise, you took the same principle or this understanding that here we find وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا يُقَدِّمْ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. If we took this understanding from this verse, basically the verse is saying وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ is more important for you Bani Israel than even the prayer and the giving of zakah. Shows at least we can conclude ahmiyah, that sometimes, may Allah forbid, that our prayer and our zakah could be in vain. Because if that prayer and that zakah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, if you miss it, Allah can forgive you, can pardon you. But if you miss kindness, you miss goodness towards another person, you can't now say, oh Allah, pardon me and forgive me. لأن هذا بينك وبين هذا الشخص ليس بينك وبين الله. There's no longer between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's between you and this individual. That now you have to rectify between this individual. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Speak good towards humanity, to people around you. And thus we find that mistreatment that we find exists, unfortunately, in general inside this Muslim ummah, that we become people who begin to mistreat other individuals, whether it be other Muslims around us, maybe who work for us, or we take care of them, or whatever it may be. But there's one class of individuals that we need to remember about their treatment, that sometimes their mistreatment is not visualized, because possibly it's behind closed doors that we find that the element of gentleness, ar-rifq, should begin where? For the Muslim individual that we find, that gentleness should begin inside the home of the individual. That is the beginning of gentleness. That many of the shabab, they are kind and gentle towards their friends, their comrades, the people around them, inside the masjid, outside the masjid. But Ahlul Bayt, their loved ones inside the home, then it's a total different displaying of character, of behavior, of love and affection. إلى الأولاد وإلى الأهل, towards one's family members, towards one's children that we find. If you read through the seerah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة, Kitab al-Fada'il, the book of virtues, before Kitab Fada'il al-Sahaba, before speaking about the virtues of the companions of Sahih Muslim. Actually, Kitab al-Fada'il, the book of virtues here, the title is called al-Fada'il. But the whole title is actually speaking about whom? It's speaking about the virtues of just only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read this chapter inside Sahih Muslim, some volume 6 or 7 in the English translation that we find. All ahadith about the conduct and the behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas ibn Malik, he narrates this hadith. وقبل نروي هذا الحديث, before we speak about this hadith, نقف عند Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik that we find, he was brought as a young boy to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and said, take care of this young ghulam, take care of this individual and look after him and raise him. Anas ibn Malik was brought up in the house of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Hadith في صحيح مسلم, خدمت الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم 9 سنين وفي بعض الروايات 10 سنين. I served the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام for 9 years. Other narrations that mentioned for 10 years. 9 or 10 years he served the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وما قال لي مرة لو فعلت كذا وكذا. He never once said to me, why didn't you do this, why didn't you do that? And if I'd done something, why didn't you do it like this? Walau marra. Not even once. Only one occasion that we find. Anas ibn Malik himself, he narrates. He said, the Prophet ﷺ, he told me to go and do an errand, go and do something for him. فَخَرَجْتُ I went out and I met some young boys. They were playing, so I joined in with them, began to watch them. Then all of a sudden a hand came on my shoulder. And I turned around. فَإِذَا هُوَ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ It's the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. I turned around. Do you think the Prophet ﷺ said to him that I told you to go and do something? Why didn't you do it? What are you doing here? قَالَ يَا أُنَيْسِ مِنْ بَابِ الْحُبْ تَصْغِيرُ الْأَسْمَاءِ From Anas he said, يَا أُنَيْسِ Did I not send you to do something? That's it. Anas ibn Malik says, نعم سأفعل I'm going to do it. I'm on my way. That's it. Even the Prophet ﷺ, and if we can say it's caught him not carrying out the action, caught him playing with the boys, doing something else. But yet we find, look at the love, look at the etiquette, look at the behavior of the Prophet ﷺ, just brushes it aside, lets it go by. So as he mentioned that I served him for 9 to 10 years, I never saw him. He never complained about anything. Anas ibn Malik narrates about this hadith, that Sulaym was with the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. And you find that there was a ghulam, ghulam aswad, a black slave of the Prophet ﷺ who's riding along with the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. Of we back the riwayat that we find Kana Hassan al-Sawti had a beautiful voice, and we know that the camel riders, to pass time, that they would sing or they would chant certain lines of poetry to pass time, as they say. And we find that as he's riding, he begins to ride swiftly and quickly in hastiness, riding with the wives of the Prophet, carrying them on the camels, and he's taking the camels, leading the camels. And Jasha, this individual, the Prophet ﷺ says to him, Ya Anjasha, Ay Anjasha, Ruwaydan. Ruwaydan, Fawqaka, Aw Sawqaka Bil Qawariya. He says, Ya Anjasha, be ease. Go softly, go easy on taking these camels forward. Don't rush. Sawqaka Bil Qawariya. The thing that what you're carrying on the backs of these camels is Qawariya. Qawariya, linguistically, is translated as glass. Glass vessels, referring to whom? The women folk. These are soft individuals. You're riding with soft individuals, take it easy. Don't just because you're riding, if you're riding with your comrade, you may ride hastily, you may ride in a rough manner. But you're riding with these female companions, these female individuals. Take it easy when you ride with them. انظروا إلى أخلاق الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. Look at his characteristics, his behavior. يفهم, he understands. Certain elements that need to be taught to this Muslim Ummah that we find. Likewise, like Abu Qilabah, one of the narrators of this hadith, he mentions something strange. He says that if the Prophet had uttered these words, which if someone, one of us had uttered these words, لَعِبْتُمُوهَا عَلَيْهِ We would blame that individual. Shaykhun Ajeeb. Time of the Companion says that if one of us said that, oh, take it easy with these women, but we would blame that individual. Just like today, if a person shows kindness and goodness to their family members, people try to blame the individual. That maybe this isn't a concept of rujula, a concept of manhood. The Quran mentions الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا. الرجال قوامون. Study the meaning of قوامون, قوامة, inside the Arabic language. Doesn't mean, as some of us literally translate, as physical strength, physical ability. Manhood, la, kalla wa haja. That's one of the least ending lughatan that we find. Ar-rijalu qawwamun means that they're able to take care, observe the rights, the regulations, everything about their family is able to take care of them. That's the deeper meaning. And because of what they spend upon their family members, they take care of their family members in all the teachings of the Quran that we find. Likewise, we find these days of Hajj that we find that he's alayhi salatu wasalam, his favorite sermon, istawsu bin nisa'i khayra, wordings that he left to the end of the sermon, some wordings that we find show goodness, kindness towards the women folk inside your home. Other narrations that we find, other wordings or other narrations, that indeed that the woman is created from the bent rib. And we can, if you try to straighten it, you will break it. Meaning that you have to accept certain qualities,
certain qualities of the woman is different from the man. This Western world, it tries to preach, it tries to instill, and she tries to indoctrinate inside humanity that the man and the woman are identical. Even that you find that even the use of the call of nature, they're trying to say this is something equal, that men and women should share the same lavatories, the same confinements of the call of nature, cave. How is that even intellectually, or as a human, how does that make sense? That men and women should share the same environments inside their personal call of nature. And thus we find that this created from the bent rib. Islam recognizes that, accepts that. And that's if we go back and study the whole concept of the bent rib of Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam kana yamshi fil jannah. Adam alayhi salam was residing inside Jannah. He had everything. Everything in Jannah was given to him. But yet, what does he miss? What is something that's missing inside his life? Hadi is Jannah. This is paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a natural fitrah, a disposition inside the human being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him inside Jannah a spouse. So that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the spouse. Inside Surah Al-A'raf that we find, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. First time Allah Ta'ala speaks. All these quotes, these ayat inside speaking about Adam alayhi salam. The whole discussion about Jannah, the whole residing of Jannah. لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. Has made a spouse from your own self. That you may reside with her. You may live with her. Likewise, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِيَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Inside Surah Rum, numerous passages, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah again mentions from amongst his signs, creation of the night and the day, your color, your languages. And here Allah Ta'ala mentions that we find from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made from amongst your own selves. Azwajan, partners, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that you may live with them. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, and it's placed, not just hub, mawaddah is more deeper. Mawaddah is deeper, greater than just bare love. وَرَحْمَةً, and mercy and compassion, that each part half is, and the hadith find, is the other half. The other half of the human being is the woman. That we find. That's why to complete your iman, is a person needs to be in a state of matrimonial relationship. And the other half should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why there's no la rahbaniya fi Islam. There's no being a monk. Staying away from marriage, that we find, in general, is highly recommended. Oh, now, بعض العلماء, some ulama that you find, whom aqilla, who existed, never got married inside life. Ulama have discussed that for the reasons behind that may exist. But shayun aam that we find, is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Inside Surah An-Nahl that we find, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَنِينَ وَحَفَدًا وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made from amongst your own selves spouses, and from those spouses baneen, children, وَحَفَدًا, grandchildren, and He's given you good blessings that have been bestowed upon you. Do you begin to reject the truth, reject the ni'mah, blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and become ungrateful? So as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the human being. And likewise inside the same surah, just to help us to understand inside Surah An-Nahl, the numerous passages, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places inside the same surah for an intent that belongs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then look at the scenario, the nature of these people. وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجُهُ مُسْوَدًّا كَمُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ قَوِيمٌ. If one of them is given the glad tidings of a daughter, you find this individual, ظَلَّ وَجُهُ مُسْوَدًّا, face becomes covered in darkness, becomes clouded. This person becomes upset. وَهُوَ قَوِيمٌ, state of rage, unhappiness. يَتَوَارَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. How is he going to walk about amongst the people what he perceives is the evil he's been given? أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Is he going to walk around in a degraded manner that I have a daughter? أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ, or is he going to place it inside the dust? أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. How evil is that they judge? They judge. وهنا نقول أما ما روي عن عمر بن الخطاب فهو باطل. As that which we attribute to Umar al-Khattab, ulama of hadith mentioned that he buried his own daughter, this is false. That he would weep about that, that's false. ولكن كان يحصل في الجاهلية بعضهم, that some of them would bury their daughters alive. And that's what the Quran is pointing out here inside Surah Al-Nahl. They find that these individuals, when they're given black tidings, just like today, unfortunately inside our culture, when some people they get upset that they've been blessed with a daughter. You find whoever brings up two daughters will enter into Jannah, they will intercede for individual. Qila, how about three as well? There are blessings for the individual, a way of entering into paradise for the individual. But also the culture that we find, we have turned the whole affair upside down. That culture, the things that we do, we find it a burden. You find it's upon the man to provide the mahar. The woman doesn't need to offer anything. Out of a goodness, a parent's goodness, if they want to offer something. As for what we stipulate, what the men stipulate, that a woman needs to give me this, then the Sharia is free from this. The woman stipulates that this is what she requires and what she needs. And a man should fulfill that, according to that Rana discussed the oath of mankind. Wa ahsanu shay, that you find the best thing, is whatever is the least mahar. The least mahar contains barakah inside it, as according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, what he done for his own daughter, Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thus we find, likewise, even in the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes and mentions, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكْرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Whoever does good deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes specific. مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ. When that person is male or female, and they're believing individual, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, will give them a good life. So here the Quran becomes specific, that men and women who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take care of their rights and their regulations, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, will give them a good life. That's why sometimes the person needs to understand and begin to instill inside a society what is the role of every single individual inside society. Is it the Western role that's infused inside a society that we find? You know, you read fiqh in great detail, hatta as-salah, salatul mar'ah, the prayer of the woman that we find, not the physical prayer that they find, whether it's any different. Most of the ulama conclude, la farq bayna rijali wal nisa illa ba'd al-ashya qalila, small things that may exist. But there's no difference. ولكن أريد أن أشير. We know that to pray in Baytul Haram, to pray in the Kaaba for one salah is 100,000 rewards. 100,000 rewards a person to pray in Jama'ah. So if a person prays their five salawat, one day, half a million rewards for that individual. Imagine that. من يغيب عن ذلك. There are some of us, may Allah rectify our affairs, go there and we take it as trivial. That we just miss maybe Salatul Jama'ah. People are talking, getting something to eat or shopping or doing this. Person should focus in their life. I miss a Salatul Jama'ah, 100,000 rewards. I've missed out. ما أريد أن أشير إليه. As for a woman, fuqaha have discussed, is it more rewarding for her to pray outside the Kaaba, pray inside the Haram, or to pray في الفندق أو في غرفتها, to pray in the hotel, or to pray in a room, or to pray in the Kaaba? Discussion begins to take place in the fuqaha, and some of them conclude, and some of us may be taken aback by this, and many women are taken aback by this, it is better for a woman to pray inside her own room in the hotel, even to pray in front of the Kaaba, more rewarding for her. It exists a view in the fuqaha to show how deeply they understand the role of the woman, what they're trying to encourage. Not that we shouldn't prevent them. Many ahadith speak about a woman should be able to come to the masjid if there's no fitnah to go and to participate in the prayers. We're just trying to highlight something that to such a degree that they discuss that even if she cannot, it's more preference to pray inside in the hotel or in her own room, her own enclosure. That shows that the role of the woman, the reward of a woman will be given. Person shouldn't minimalize that. Person shouldn't think that taking care of the home, taking care of the children, taking care of one's family members is something minimal. There's a greater goal to achieve in such society. Numerous hadith that if any woman who takes care of the chores at home, takes care of her family, takes care of her children, will enter from, and her husband is happy with it, will enter from any of the 8 doors of Jannah that she wills. Simple ahadith, simple life. That's why some of our mothers that you find are simple individuals, simple personalities, that we find simple things. Simple things, as we began with, that simple people get to Jannah. Technical people who begin to say it's a modern world and we need to do this and this exists and that begins to take place, then technicalities lead on to even more technicalities. And thus we find that the understanding, the nature of gentleness and kindness goes back to the Quran. Right from the beginning, we go back to Surah An-Nisa, the 4th chapter of the Quran, one of the longest surahs inside the Quran that we find, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَيُّ النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً ۚ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ ۚ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins, أَيُّ النَّاسُ, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created you from one soul, from one individual. And from that one individual, that one partner, we created many nations, many individuals come from there. If you study Surah An-Nisa, كَأَنَّ كُلُّ surah. That's why given this title, Surah An-Nisa, as if the whole of the surah is talking about affairs, about women, kindness, divorce, inheritance, who you can marry, who you cannot marry. Hatta even at the end of the surah, concludes with speaking about inheritance, about women that we find. So as if the whole of the Quran, or the whole of Surah An-Nisa, everyone is speaking about the rights and roles of women that we find. فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Study manhaj al-Qur'an. Natural nature. Perhaps you may despise certain things about the woman, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. But a person needs to learn to overlook, learn to accept, learn to be tolerant. Because perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may put much goodness regarding that inside the state of the affair. Like what you mentioned, other verse, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamuna ala Nisa, also exists inside Surah An-Nisa. And even go before that, inside Surah Al Imran that we find, whereby speaking about the birth of Maryam alayhi salam that we find, whereby as many ulama tafsir mention, Hanna, her mother, she wanted it to be a son, a male, to take care of the masjid, to take care at that time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon her Maryam alayhi salam. وَلَيْسَ ذَكْرُكَ الْأُنْثَى. She said that I've delivered a babe who's female. وَاللَّهُ عَلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ. Allah knows what you've delivered. وَلَيْسَ ذَكْرُكَ الْأُنْثَى. The man is not like the woman. هَذَا مَنْهَجُ الْقُرْآنِ عَلَى الْإِطْلَاقِ. That's it. لَا نِقَاشِ. There's no discussion. وَلَيْسَ ذَكْرُكَ الْأُنْثَى. The man is not like the woman. No matter what this society tries to perceive and tries to instill, that's it. Let the Quran speak for itself. That they are two different identities, two different individuals. Obviously, in reward, they share many things. They share many things. But in terms of personalities, وَحَتَّى بَعْدَ الْفَرَائِضِ, certain obligations, they're lifted from a woman, taken away from a woman. حَتَّى حَجْ, that we find. There's some women in their zeal that they want to go and perform Hajj. لَا يَجُوز. بِدُونِ مَحْرَمٍ, not allowed to travel. Not allowed to travel without a mahram. People in this modern world say, well, to travel from here to there is a modern world. The Prophet ﷺ forbade it for a woman to leave her environment, to leave without a mahram. As for daily affairs inside her environment, لا حرج في ذلك. As for to travel out, بِدُونِ مَحْرَمٍ, without a mahram, is not allowed for a woman to do. And any man understands that. Who will take care of her? ذو مَحْرَمٍ. Person who's a mahram, travels with a mahram, a chaperone with her, to take care of her needs, to protect her, etc., exists. Not that it becomes a modern world, that the world becomes safe, and no, the Sharia becomes something of a medieval practice. The Sharia is not a medieval practice. A Sharia li kulli zaman wa makan. The Sharia is for every time and every place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ala ya'lamu man khalaq, wa huwa al-latiful khabir. Allah knows what He's created, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He's the most subtle, the most aware. So when He lays out certain commandments inside the Quran, those cannot be dismantled.
They Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, laysa al-dhakaru kal-untha, the male is not like the female. And if we carry on with this story of Maryam alayhi salam, that we find we enter into the whole chapter of Surah Maryam, the 19th chapter of the Quran, once again speaking about the nature of the woman, the nature of the deliverance of the child that we find. Whereby Maryam alayhi salam, she mentions that if only had been something forgotten, unknown, kuntu nasyam mansiya, unknown, that this the pain of child labor, this difficulty that you find, if only I was unknown in coming to my people, or delivering a child not being touched by any man that we find. That's why Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, speaking about tafsir inside Surah Luqman that we find, about taking care of one's mother, that this individual is performing tawaf, carrying his mother on his back. And he shouts out to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas, that, have I given the right of my mother? Have I given the right, me carrying her on my back now, performing a tawaf? He said, you carrying her on your back is not equal to even one contraction. Not equal to one contraction that she faced when using her in her womb. So you could carry all your life carrying her on your back and thinking that you're doing something good. But what your mother done for you, you cannot recompense it. As we find in certain ahadith, we find some ulama in some collection classified with da'if, wala ayyihan, ba'd al-ulama, accept these narrations, that paradise lies at the feet of your mother. It lies there. The whole Jannah, a way for a person to enter into paradise. But the rawayat that we find, there are two gates to Jannah. Al-Abawan. Two gates to Jannah. Use those gates to get into paradise. Your father, your mother. For some people, one door is broken. Only one door left. And for some of us, no doors are left. No doors are left to enter into Jannah. Thus we find a person needs to be vigilant about, as we began with, kindness and goodness, all taking it from the seerah and the life of the Prophet alayhi wasallam. Thus we find the way that he conducted himself. Read the end surahs inside the 28th juz, beginning from Surah Al-Mujadila bil kasrati of Surah Al-Mujadila. إذا سمينا سورة المجادلة فهي المرأة التي اشتكت إلى الرسول قد سمع الله قول التي تجادلك في زوجها وتشتكي إلى الله والله يسمع تحاوركما. المجادلة, the woman who argued. If we take it as مجادلة, this is the dispute, as ulama tafsir and logha they mention. Both of these names are names of this surah. المجادلة, the one who argued, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, read inside tafsir of Ibn Kathir. خولة أو خويلة بن ثعلبة. This woman that we find, either Khawla or Khawaila, both are synonymous names in essence that ulama have discussed. She said that, I became an elderly woman. I bore my husband. If I'm not mistaken, Awaisi bin Shamin, the name of the husband. I bore him children, I took care of his needs and everything. Then one day in anger, he said to me, you're like the back of my mother. Kalam fi jahiliya bima'na talaq. Words in jahiliya, that means that you are divorced, you're like the back of my mother. So she complained to the Prophet والسلام, over an argument. This is what he done. Then when he calmed down, read the tafsir. تَأَنَّهُ يُشِيرْ إِلَى شَخْصِيَةُ الرِّجَالِ الْيَوْمِ. When he calmed down, and he then thought about what he said, he tried to come back to me, become intimate with me. But I refused. He tried to force himself. I then grabbed some clothing and I ran and I complained to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said to me, he is the son of your aunt or your uncle. He's an old man, take care of him. Then after that, ayat was sent down. قَدْ سَمِيَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. She complains to Allah. Allah sends ayat down about her complaining about the way that her husband is taking care of her. Likewise, when inside the same juz, they find Surah Al-Mumtahina, Surah Al-Talaq, till eventually we come to Surah Al-Tahrim that we find in the 66th chapter of the Quran, which is the end of the 28th juz. And if you find these 12 verses or so, 66 surah, it is ulama of ulum al-Quran mentioned, is the final Medinan surah. Because after that, we find complete surah. After that, the rest of juz, Tabarak, juz, Amma in general, is all Makkah surahs. So here we find, يَا أَيُّ النَّبِيُّ
لِمَا تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَبْتَغِي مَرْضَاتَ أَزْوَاجِكَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِي. O Prophet of Allah, why are you making something which is halal haram upon your own self? تَبْتَغِي مَرْضَاتَ أَزْوَاجِكَ. Are you trying to seek the happiness of your wives? Once again, read the tafsir of these verses to understand the nature of our mothers, to understand the nature of women, to understand the nature of the human being, understand the nature of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. فيوم كان يومين أو عادة يزور أزواجه. We go and visit his wives after بعد العصر. Go and visit them. فجلس في مع زيد بن جحش. He sat with one of his wives. And Aisha, she got upset about this. If you can use the words linguistically, فلا حرج, an element of jealousy. That he sat slightly longer with Zayd bin Jahsh. So she complains to this to Hafsa bint Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhuma, complains to Hafsa, the daughter of Umar, and says, you know, we need to do something about this. We need to plot or do something. This isn't right. So when he came home one day, he said that there's a foul smell that's coming from your mouth. ما أكلت إلا عسلاً. I never ate except for honey. Honey has no bitter taste. Honey has no fragrance, foul fragrance, no odor. So he said, in that case, I will no longer eat honey. No longer eat it. يَا يُّ النَّبِي لِمَا تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Why are you making something haram that Allah made halal for you? تَبْتَغِي مَرْدَاتِ أَزْوَاجِكَ. Something that's just pleasing your wives, trying to please them. But Allah revealed, showed the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام what their intent was, what they were doing. This is the nature of them. This is أُمَّهَاتُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, mothers of the believers. This isn't a form of blame. This is showing an element of humanity. Because even the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, it shows his human nature. There are many things about him which are unique, which are revelation. And there's a human form. There's a human form that exists that certain things he doesn't know. He doesn't maybe possibly understand, comprehend. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows, delivers the message. Then that becomes lesson for the rest of us to see how to engage with the people around us, how to engage with people. So we find that this was a characteristic, but yet the Prophet was so tolerant, so understanding, just a simple individual, that what they intended to do was not the real intent of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And this all goes back as we began with. Whoever's been given a rifq, فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا حَظَّهُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. He's been given immense goodness. Person who's gentle, who's soft, who's lenient. Harshness has its moments. At certain times and places, a Muslim is not forever harsh. At every time, at every moment, the general format of the human is to be gentle, to be lenient, to be easy, to be loving and to be caring. This is how Muslims should display themselves. Firstly, as we mentioned, towards our family members, towards our children around us, that we find in this video, once again, conclusion, Kitab al-Fada'il, whereby the Prophet mentioned to one individual, he showed love and affection, said to rebuke this individual, don't you kiss your children, don't you hug your children, don't you take care of your children, if you can extract that. He said, I've never touched. I have 10 children. Never hugged them. Never showed them any affection. Never showed them any affection. That's not good parenthood. That we find that even psychologically, that we find sociologically, that we find it's going to be mentioned, documented. The love that a father shows to his daughter, the love that he shows, you know, it becomes proven. It becomes very difficult for any individual to break that love. If she's been nurtured with pure love from her father, a love of attention and caring and taking care of her, no simple individual can come and just walk away with a person's daughter. But when the daughter is hollow, is weak, no love, no affection, no tender caring, then the simple whatever individual walks into her life will take her and fulfill her cavity with that love. But the love of the father, this deep love that she has, deep love of tender love and care and welfare, it's not simple for any individual to come and to dismantle that love. There has to be a love for that individual. That person equally has to be or reach a level of fine caliber like the father. That's what we find in the Sharia, once again, conclusion about love, about marriage, that we find. Ulama discuss once again, that the father, he looks at certain characteristics that are not found amongst many of our young individuals, that they think at times is the right candidate, or the woman thinks that this is the right candidate, or the woman thinks that I can do whatever I want to do inside my life. Ar-rajul al-walid indahu tajriba, has experience of life, has understanding of life, has a purpose of life, has a meaning of life, and can see right through many of our young, not to look down upon our young shallow individuals have around us, that their observations of life, their achievements of life are very shallow. So a shallow individual can't take care of my daughter. And a person can go and complain to whoever they want to complain. Complain to this imam and that imam, that the father is this and the father is that, and the father says this and the father does that. But I can conclude safely that 8 or 9 times out of 10, the father is in the right, especially his modern world, has a deep understanding to see that certain traits don't exist in front of this suitor who's coming, seeking the hand of the marriage of my daughter. It doesn't exist. And that's what we need to turn back ourselves in the way that we display ourselves in mercy and compassion and kindness and goodness, and deliver that within our own society around us, to take away the corruption that exists inside the society, the breaking of the family disorder inside our community, especially in the West. All boils down to not each individual not knowing their role and their responsibilities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of our families, give us all the tawfiq and ability to nurture them well, to bring them up well, and to take care of them. And together that we become a solidified Muslim ummah, a force that's taking care of our rights and regulations on a global scale as well. That this is what this ummah encourages, what the Prophet encouraged us to be united together, and to encourage one another.